This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good morning, horse people. This is Coach Jen from Ocala, Florida, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for August 14th, 2015, episode 1235, brought to you today by Kentucky Performance Products.
Guess what day it is today? Sunday. No, it's Friday.
I can't believe it. I just don't believe it.
What's going to happen?
Thank God it's...
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
Thank God it's...
That's right, everybody. It's Freestyle Friday, so sit back and enjoy this mashup of equine who knew educational nuggets and horse-themed hilarity from the Hit'em Audio Vault.
Friend Dr. Ellen has already posted on our Facebook page that she has to go to work, but she's hoping it's not as bad as they say it's going to be. I know Helena up there and some of our friends in Massachusetts are expecting 2 to 3 feet with 50 to 70 mile an hour winds. I predict some power
outages.
Oh,
my gosh. That just sounds awful.
I know.
Bless and you guys' heart.
I was so rude. I posted a little video of me driving my pony over the weekend. The sun's shining. The grass is green. I'm sure that pissed everybody in the Northeast off. But
Nice, Glenn. Yeah,
sorry about that. But it was a nice drive. I had a nice drive with Scooter over the weekend. You know, we measured him yesterday. This is, by the way, for new listeners, I rescued a Hackney pony about 18 months ago. And when we got him, he was a starving child, like ready to keel over and die the day we got him off the trailer. He was 275 pounds. We measured him with the tape back then. 275 pounds for a 12.5-pound pony.
Oh.
So we measured him the first time in 18 months yesterday, and he is 550 pounds. He's doubled his body
weight. Oh, my God. Are you kidding me?
No, he's doubled his body weight.
Now, wait a minute. We know that at least 95 pounds of that is hair. Right now.
Yeah, he's got a lot of hair right now. Even for Florida, he's a lot of hair. But and he also gained about a half an inch. He's almost 13 hands now.
So, wow. Yeah. Nice job, you guys.
So he's doing good. Yep. Scooter update.
Nice. Hold on. I can't find it. Talk amongst yourselves. Where is it? I can't find it.
What are you looking for? And I'm hearing now from other people, Rhonda up there.
There we go.
My little pony. I set you up for that. Rhonda is already messaging me saying she expects weather updates from the Northeast and that we're not supposed to ignore her up there. So, Rhonda, we're not ignoring you. I mentioned it already. First thing in the show. We're acknowledging you're going to get snow. And I have to go to Philadelphia this weekend for Ada, so there'll be snow. I'll have a little snow left.
Oh, you're never going to get there. Are you driving? You
fly. No. I'm flying, which is even worse. They already have canceled, talk about airline flights, they've already canceled like 7,000 flights in and out of New England. Tomorrow's flights. Oh, they've already canceled.
Wow.
So,
well, you know
United,
what? It's probably a good thing with all the people that are calling in bomb threats to planes these days, the past couple days. Now they've stopped it. And
That's right. It's just going to be nothing. So anyway, we're thinking about all of you up there and just really glad we don't have to deal with that anymore. So that's what I wanted to add. Jennifer.
Again, I really think that you know, obviously old people have a lot of wisdom. As they get older, you know, your entire life, you learn. There's a reason old people go to Phoenix in Florida. It's because they're smarter than everybody else.
And that's why we came, because we're old and we moved to Florida.
I only live here by default, so yeah. I'm not that smart yet.
While Jamie's getting things settled there a little bit, I'll tell you, I want to remind everybody that on Friday, and I hope Jamie's still listening, on Friday, we had a news story about Russia. And it gave Jamie the opportunity to practice what little Russian she had learned when she was a teenager. And the Russian that she had learned when she was a teenager probably, well, it wasn't necessarily, you know, it wasn't necessarily for polite company.
It wasn't our poetry. Okay.
No, it wasn't poetry. And it wasn't, hi, how was your day? It more talked about people's asses. So
I know how to call somebody the B word, and I know how to say you have a nice butt in Russian. Nice butt. And you're supposed to take your hands and turn them like palms up and go, Klasivia job, and squeeze your hands. Like, oh, honk, honk, you know, like that. And you're supposed to say, Klasivia job, and then honk your hands like that. So that's what I knew.
I'm sure you were very surprised to hear from a listener of ours by the name of Vera Rubasova, who wrote in and sent us an email and said, Jamie, I was laughing so hard. Surely it's not what you would say in polite company, but you did a pretty good job. And there is someone right now on the phone that wants to talk to you about that. Vera has called in. Good morning, Vera.
Доброе утро, Глен и Джейми. Здравствуйте, слушатели передачи «Лошади по утрам». Good morning.
Привет. Hola.
Vera, oh, you've made Jamie's weekend with that email. You really did.
Okay, yeah. Great. No, I was really laughing so hard, and I'm sure that listeners in Russia, you now have probably more because it was so fun.
I can't believe somebody actually wrote back and then called. You sent an email saying that, yeah, again, it's not what you would say in polite company, but I'm not polite company, so that's what you do. I love that you emailed me, and I can't believe you're on the phone. Okay, how was my pronunciation?
It was pretty good, especially
really?
On the very first word. That was very close. Yeah, and you can definitely use that when you talk about dogs. Because that's the only word we would use when we need to
talk
about female dogs.
Oh, my gosh. That's so cool. Okay. So how do you say my horse is beautiful?
Мой конь прекрасен.
Мой конь прекрасен.
It gets there. It requires, like in riding, it just needs practice.
Okay.
The more you practice, the better you will become.
I forgot it already. Say it again.
You know what? Maybe we should just learn a very simple statement, very simple phrase,
okay,
which you can always use when you greet someone. And you do not need to worry whether you are greeting a young person or an old person, a group of people or a single person, or it's your friend or it's a total stranger. You
okay
can use it any time of the day, except for the late, very late night. It's good day in Russian. It is добрый день.
Добрый день.
Yes.
Добрый день.
Exactly. You can tell it to anyone. Добрый день.
Добрый день.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
So
I think that that's sexy.
What's the word for horse then? What is the word for horse? We need to learn the word for horse.
Very generic words would be лошадь. Yes, but in Russian, it is a female. It's not necessarily a female horse. It's not a mare necessarily. It's a generic word. But when you want to talk about specifically a stallion or gelding, you'd say конь, which is much shorter. Конь.
What was that word again?
Конь.
Конь? Like coin?
Yep,
like
exactly.
Like a coin in your pocket?
Конь. If you would transcribe it, you would say K-O-N, but it's a very soft N.
Ah, gotcha.
Coin.
That's awesome.
Where did you live in Russia?
I used to live in St. Petersburg, Leningrad then.
And you moved to Canada, you said in your email?
Yes, I did.
Okay, cool. Did you have anything to do with horses over there in Russia?
Yes. That's where I started riding many, many years ago. I started riding in a state school in Leningrad. And it was a historic building, not exactly like a Vienna School of Horses, but Spanish School of Horses, but close to it.
Did you ride? Did you ride Akoltikis? I know I'm not saying that right, but is that the kind of horse that everybody rides in Russia?
We actually had one. We did have one.
Huh.
Yeah, I remember him. He was gray, and I remember his name. Yeah, we did have one. They are very pretty. They are not easy to train, though.
Oh, really?
And how many? What kind of horses, what breed of horses did you ride?
Oh, it was a variety of horses because Russia had very deep established roots of horse breeding. We had local breeds that we used. And probably at that point, I'm not exactly sure, but probably we had some influx from Germany as well. Trikainers were very popular.
Ah, okay. And were you using horses for work or show or both?
Pardon me?
In that area? Were they using horses for work or show or both in that area?
Show. That was a sport. That was a question sport.
And
we had jumpers. We had an Olympic champion in our school. And no, it was very high level school, but I was definitely at the lower level at the kids riding school then.
That's very cool. You know, here in America, when we think of Russia, we don't think of necessarily horse competition or that there's a lot of horses just, you know, in people's lives. So that's kind of cool to actually hear from you about that. And have you continued it in Canada?
I resumed it in Canada after a very, very, very long break. When the kids grew up, I resumed riding. So I do have a horse.
Now, you could have moved from Russia to Florida where it's warm. Instead, you chose to move from Russia to Canada where it's cold. Why did you do that?
Because it's great. I love four seasons. I love snow, too. It's great.
There you go.
She's Russian. Canada is nothing, Glenn. Canada is nothing.
Now, in St. Petersburg, they get the really hard winters. Were the winters worse there or in Russia or in Canada?
It's easier. I would say it's easier to tolerate winter here because it's much drier. Where I was, not the rest of the country necessarily, but where I was, it was very humid in winter, so it was harder.
Mm.
It's easier to stand cold when it's drier.
Gotcha. Well, this is very cool, Vera. I'm so glad you dropped a note. So glad you called in to, you really did make Jamie's weekend.
Oh, great. I'm happy. I'm glad to hear that. Thank you very much. Yep.
I could not believe I remember those words because I learned them like, I don't know, 20 years ago, but over 20 years ago, but the fact that it actually still made sense and you wrote, and it just totally made my whole entire weekend. Glenn's right. It was so cool. Thank you so much for taking the time and writing in. And I'm glad that I made you laugh. That's what I like to do is make people laugh. And if you can laugh at me, then that's fine. I don't care.
No, that's great. And you know, Jamie, there was something that I wanted to actually say, all right, but I never do it. I remember a few months back you said that somebody on iTunes wrote that you are a boring host. Remember
that
one? I personally think you are a very engaging, very opinionated host. And I like how you stand by your beliefs, even if I don't share them. I love it.
Well, you have me
terrific.
Until you don't stand by. I mean, come on. What do you need to talk about here? I'm just kidding. Vera, you're awesome. Thank you so much for the compliment and writing in and teaching us a little Russian. Queen.
You're most welcome. Thank you for having me on the show.
Oh, now look, the only one she picked up on, what you talked about, she won't remember how to say hello, but she remembers stallion. So now she knows ass and stallion. That's the two things she knows in Russian now.
So funny.
Thank you, Vera.
Okay, bye.
Have a great day.
Glenn, you totally surprised me with that. How cool.
She had waited all her life for this moment, dreaming about it since she was 10 years old. The trailer ramp touched the ground. He whinnied as she backed him out, swinging his head around to get a good look at his new home. His coat gleamed in the sun. Her love had arrived. She was breathless. He was beautiful. She could hardly wait to tack him up and start off on what she was sure would be the best times of her life. This love story is brought to you by Contribute, providing essential omega-3 fatty acids that help maintain low inflammation levels throughout your horse's body. The horse that matters to you matters to Kentucky Performance Products. call 859-873-2974 or visit kppusa.com to order today.
You know, when I started my acting career and we started at the Renaissance Fairs, one of my favorite people that used to come in was a falconer. And he used to bring the coolest birds in and used to do demonstrations. And let me tell you what, there is nobody that's a chick magnet more than a falconer. A guy with cool birds. There are 1,000 women standing around waiting to talk to the guy with cool birds. And we have one of those guys on with us right now. And his name is Martin Whitley from Dartmoor Hawking in England. Good morning, Martin.
Good morning to you.
And we're glad you could join us today. There aren't a whole lot of falconers left in the world, are there?
Probably more than you think.
Yeah? Okay.
Yes. They're not huge numbers, but there are a lot over here, and it's growing on your side of the world, too.
Well, now, how did you get started in falconry?
I started it as a hobby. My late first wife sent me hunting with hawks, and I just loved it. I absolutely loved it. Got my own bird, carried on from there. Been about 14 years ago, my first wife died of cancer, and it's a change of life, so I decided to do falconry for a living. And I sort of carried on from there.
How do you make a living? Are you teaching? Is the same way we do with horses? You're teaching falconry? Is that how you make a living at
it? I can do anything. I can take someone like you out who's never met a bird, and by the end of the day, you'd quite happily be flying my bald eagle to yourself. I can teach people falconry if they actually want to take it out over themselves. I can teach people to fly hawks from horses. And if you want to, I can take you out hunting with birds so you can actually catch your own supper.
So now, so you've been doing this for a long time, and you have, according to your website, you're near Dartmoor National Park. What part of England is that for all of those in the United States who don't know?
The bottom left-hand corner.
There you go. Perfect. That's exactly what I was looking for. So now that's exactly what I was looking for. And you're at Bovey Castle Estate, which sounds like it's beautiful.
It is absolutely glorious. I'm looking over the estate at the moment because I'm having to hide in my truck while I talk to you because my barn full of birds is a bit noisy. so I'm looking over across at Bovey Castle, which is a great big mansion house, 64 bedrooms.
And you have access to 15,000 acres for flying and hunting?
Yes, I'm very lucky. I farmed in the area. Over here, we don't have state-owned land as such, so everything's privately owned. But I used to farm in the area, so I went to school with everyone, or I went to school with their sons, and it's just getting to the stage now I went to school with the fathers. So I've got access to a huge amount of land to fly on, so I'm very lucky in that.
And what kind of birds are you using now?
I have everything from a little owl, which weighs in at 4 ounces, up to a bald eagle, which weighs 12 and a half pounds.
All right, wait a minute. A little owl that weighs 4 ounces and it's fully grown?
Yes, it's fully grown. It is probably the bird I keep that can inflict most harm and suffering on people. Oh, sorry, I should explain. Yeah, the owls, we don't use the owls for hunting, they're sort of ornamental. But this little chap, he can do nasty things. He flies down the aisle and delivers people's wedding rings. He condemns people to marriage. Now that's nasty.
That's funny. So
we have the full backup service. Our bald eagle is a bit aggressive. She comes in later. She does divorces, mother-in-laws, that side of things. We see the whole process all the way through.
So obviously you do demonstrations and things and shows with your birds as well.
Yes.
So the bald eagle, obviously that's something that we're partial to over here in the United States, and we have some here that we've seen flying around our neighborhood. They're becoming more prevalent now. They're making a comeback here in the United States, especially down here in Florida. Are they easy to hunt with? Are they easy birds to work with? Or, you know, what are the easiest birds and what are the more difficult ones to hunt?
Right, my bald eagle, we don't take my bald eagle hunting. She has issues. The biggest thing she's ever caught was a 6'2", 250-pound golfer playing golf on the golf course down the bottom, and she knocked him out cold.
That's not good.
It was only a golfer. It wasn't a normal person.
Jamie's husband would be happy to hear that.
I have to say that in her defense, it was only a golfer. So, yeah, she has quite a few issues. So we don't take her hunting because of what she might catch. Who she might catch. But we have a golden eagle. We hunt with her. She will take anything up to the size of roe deer, which are 45-pound deer.
So a bird can take out a 45-pound animal?
Yeah.
Wow. Who would have thought? And now, are there certain birds that are just easier to handle and are more cooperative? And
there are a lot of my teaching work, and a lot. If you were to come over me and you want to catch your supper, I would take you out of a bird called a Harris hawk. Now, they originate from your side of the world again, but they're social. They live in hunting family groups. So once they're trained, they like you. They actively like you and see you as part of their gang.
How do you keep them all? Are they kept in like a barn, or are they kept in cages?
They live in a big barn. I've got a big yard set up here. I've got hawks and eagles on one side. I've got horses on the other side and dogs running around in between.
All right, well, let's talk about the horses and how they come into play with falconry.
Right. I mean, the horses, it's a means of transport, really. Dartmoor is one of England's few wildernesses left, and it's wild, rough country. It's lots of rocks, lots of bogs. So to get a reasonable flight, I mean, you need to get into the middle of the moor, and the quickest and easy way of doing that is use a horse. Now,
I was just going to say, the horses get along with the birds. I mean, they figured that out pretty quickly.
Probably 4 out of 5 horses would never do falconry. They'd be too scared. You're trying to combine the sort of ultimate flight and panic animal with the ultimate predator. So it can be quite intimidating for horses. Sometimes the smell puts them off. Sometimes the flapping puts them off. You need a good, sensible horse. You know, and the one I'm using at the moment, he's the only horse, as far as we know, in the country who's actually will have an eagle with a 7'6" wingspan fly up to him without batting.
Wow. Yeah, there's not too many horses that would do that. I'm looking at a picture of you with one of your horses. It almost looks like a thoroughbred.
It is a thoroughbred.
Yeah.
We've got a second thoroughbred in off the track. Thoroughbred's perfect for it. If you get the right one, they're very quick on their feet. Now, if you're galloping across Dartmoor trying to keep up with a flight going on at maybe 60 miles an hour, you don't want a horse where you have to place its feet everywhere and ride it. You've got to be able to look up the sky and, you know, hope the horse keeps itself up. So thoroughbreds are very quick on their feet. The nice one's very easy to control. They're just lovely, perfect for it.
And have you found, now that you run this school, and it's the Dartmoor Hawking, and is the number of people wanting to get into falconry increasing? Is it something that's becoming more popular?
It's becoming very much more popular. Half my life is spent persuading people it's not actually as easy as it looks. If you come to me, you'll think you're great at the end of the day, but you're working with birds that have already been trained. You know, it's quite a big commitment. I mean, I will come up here to my barn. I'll normally get up here about 7 o'clock in the morning. I'm lucky if I'm away 7 o'clock in the evening, and that's 7 days a week, 365 days of the year.
Wow. I mean, these pictures are just absolutely incredible. And so you offer like a day school or something? So like Glenn and I could come out and have like a falcon lesson?
Yeah, you could come along in a day. I would have you flying hawks, probably not an eagle, but quite big hawks, to a horse up on Dartmoor.
Oh my gosh.
Let's do it, Glenn. Let's do it.
I know.
But for people who are a bit more adventurous, we can take you up there to actually go hunting with them as well from a horse, and that's really fast and furious.
Oh wow.
My gosh.
But that needs to be in the hunting season. We can teach you to fly hawk all year round, but hunting, we are limited by seasons.
Have you ever had, and this is silly, but had one of the hawks get a little too aggressive with your horse, like land on the horse or do anything like that? Or are they pretty good about the horse?
We've had hawks land on the horses. The horse I will actually use at any stage has to work with it. I don't know the photos on the website, but I got a lovely photo of him the other day. He was out in the field, and I was training a young hawk, and my perch had been knocked over, so I used the horse as a perch. So I had a young hawk flying back and forth onto the horse and then back to me, and the horse is completely loose.
Wow.
But
he is quite
a special one. Yeah, he's quite a special
one. That goes against nature. I mean, they're supposed to be afraid of these things. That's absolutely great training. How exactly do you start that? How do you start the hawk being next to the horse?
Right, well, if I go to see a horse, I actually got my last one by mistake. I went to see him for somebody else. And they told me after I'd been to see him, I found that, found this horse for you, it's perfect for you. And I said, well, actually, we brought one yesterday. The way horsey people sometimes do to you. So, I don't know if you have the same problems over your side of the world, but... So, I thought, actually, I quite liked him. So, you know, he was looking for a home. He wasn't making it as a racehorse. So I said, I'll have him. Brought him back here. Settled him. First day I rode him, I got on his back. We thought, right, we'll see what he's like. We're going to take a hawk next to him. We thought he'd be okay. He didn't bat an eyelid. So about 10 minutes after I first sat on him at home, I was carrying an eagle on him.
Oh, my gosh.
But he is quite a special one, this one. Normally we do a slower introduction process, but you can tell within about the first 5 minutes whether a horse is going to be worth carrying on working with as a falconry horse or not.
Wow.
You know, so they either will or not. If you've got to do too much to get the horse ready, it's never going to be reliable enough.
I am looking also at your website, and I saw the fact that during a wedding, I could have had an owl fly down the aisle with the wedding ring and deliver the wedding ring to the groom. Are you kidding me?
No, we can do that. That's my nastier side coming through, obviously.
Is this a popular thing for weddings, or is it just starting out?
It is becoming very popular.
Yeah. So cool.
And that's the little 4-ounce owl, the tiny. What is the name of that one, by the way? What breed is
he's
that?
He's called Peep. Peep. Because he lives in a big rabbit hutch and looks around the corner at you to see what's going on, see if he wants to come out or not.
That's funny. We have a lot of red-tailed hawks here, and we actually, where we live in Florida, have a lot of hawks, so we see them every day. So we get to see them working too, and that's kind of neat, you know, doing what they're supposed to do. And they're so brazen here now that they'll sit right on the fence. We were out driving the horses yesterday, and we're about 4 feet from one, and he's just sitting there on the fence, never moved. And they're really getting, a little more brazen that way, I guess, here where there's a lot of people. But it is really cool. We have a ton of owls, too, here now, and more than I ever have heard before, the screech owls and the regular barn owls and stuff.
But bird of prey numbers are coming back, and, you know, in areas where there's a lot of people and they realize people aren't going to hurt them, you become fairly irrelevant in their scheme of things, because they're quite basic creatures, birds of prey. Everything is food, fresh, or irrelevant. So you should be quite irrelevant. You shouldn't really be registering in their scheme of things.
You know what? Right. That's the perfect way to consider me irrelevant. When one of them, a hawk, dropped down out of the tree on my property and grabbed one of my chickens when I was like 10 feet away. It had no care that I was there.
Yeah.
It was, as you said, irrelevant. It wanted the chicken. what type of hawks do you use? I'm sorry.
Right. The Harris hawks, which I'll use to train you with, but they're short-distance flyers. They're not fast. They catch things like rabbit. But if I was actually taking you out hunting with a horse properly, we'd fly either my hunting eagle, Artemis, over two pointing dogs, or we'd take you out hunting snipe with smaller falcons, or the absolute creme de la creme of falconry from horses is flights at crows up on Dartmoor. Now, it doesn't sound very special. You have to see it to believe it. The crows, the falconry flight, I mean, these birds can dive at over 200 miles an hour.
Gosh.
They are fantastic. Straight line flight, 50, 60, maybe up to 70 miles an hour. Now, they're much faster than the crows we fly them at, but the crows are much more agile and maneuverable. And you get what's basically an aerial dogfight, and you can get a flight that can go on for 1-2 miles across Dartmoor, all up in the air above you. It's visually, it's the most stunning form of falconry you could ever see.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. You know, Jamie's husband is a fighter pilot, Martin. So, you know, for him to watch that, you know, he does that every day for work, right? So for him to watch that would be amazing for Chad to sit and watch that, I think.
Even more amazing to tie a horse in it. Well, they go back studying these birds when they're designing jet fighters because they haven't made anything that has the full capabilities of one of these birds yet. You know, we can go faster in outright speed, but not in maneuverability.
Well, let me ask you this. I have a question for you. I wanted to ask somebody. I was so glad you were coming on today. We have all the hawks and owls here, which means we have very few in our neighborhood bunny rabbits. You know, we live in an equestrian neighborhood that should have tons of bunny rabbits. Well, we figured the hawks and the owls were the reason we don't have a lot of bunny rabbits. But we have a million squirrels. Do squirrels just taste horrible? Why aren't the hawks eating the squirrels?
Right. Red tails will take squirrels, but the problem is with squirrels is squirrels bite back. A bird that's had a bit of a mix-up with a squirrel is not guaranteed. I would say, you know, I've been flying birds 28-odd years. 90% of my vet bills in that time has been squirrel bites.
Oh,
you know,
really?
The bird's caught a squirrel wrong and it's turned around and bitten it.
Huh.
Now
I
didn't
know that. Squirrels are nasty creatures, is what you're saying.
Squirrels are not.
I
mean,
knew it.
As long as you're getting them by the...
They sit right outside Jennifer's window when she's recording, and they stick their finger up at her, is what they do. Yeah, they taunt her.
Well, the problem with squirrels, if a hawk gets it by the head, it's fine, but they always tend to buy that little bushy tail going wag, 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 and that leaves everything else free to come around and bite them.
Well, that's good. Okay. Now I know why there's so many squirrels and no rabbits.
Okay. I'm going to sum this up right now by saying the only thing hotter than a guy with a falcon is a guy with a falcon on a horse. And then to even top that, a hot guy on a horse with a falcon with your accent. Oh, my gosh. I'm in love.
You know, I bet you, Martin, Harry Potter had to make your business go 10 times to the roof. The Harry Potter series had to help your business.
No, the Harry Potter business caused me no end of problems because over here you could buy a bird off me quite legally. You could come and buy my bald eagle who would like to try and kill you off me and take her home with you. So we had Harry Potter caused a huge problem with people going out and buying owls and then not looking after them properly.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah.
Wow.
You know, kind of makes
sense. The price of snowy owls, which Harry Potter's owl was, went from £150 to £700 overnight.
Wow.
Well, I'm glad to know that Americans aren't the only ones prone to that kind of behavior. I feel better.
Martin, this has been absolutely enjoyable. What's the website where people can go see the pictures and find out more about it? We have a lot of UK listeners if they want to give it a try.
It's www.dartmoorhawking.co.uk.
DartmoorHawking.co.uk is the website. We'll post it on our Facebook page as well at Horses in the Morning on Facebook. And this has been a lot of fun. Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you for your time.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if your horse could enjoy a zone of repellency from pesky flies? Well, he can with EcoVet. EcoVet is an entirely new type of fly repellent that is safe for horses and those applying it, offering a real alternative to toxic pesticides like pyrethrins. EcoVet confuses an insect's normal directional ability, the bug's GPS, if you will. So if it can't locate your horse, it can't bite your horse. Dr. Wendy Ying from the Driving Radio Show has been using it in South Florida, also known as the Jurassic Park of biting insects, and she just loves it. EcoVet's active ingredients are naturally occurring food-grade fatty acids that have been clinically shown to improve the condition of horses with difficult-to-treat sweet itch problems. EcoVet is effective on mosquitoes, ticks, noceums, as well as flies. You can visit EcoVet online at eco-vet.com for more information or to order. You can find EcoVet at Dover Saddlery Stores and EcoVet's on Facebook. Just search EcoVet, E-C-O-V-E-T.
I have a choice for you between two different lists. I have, it's Friday, so we'll go the wacky list. 15 incredibly weird things you can buy on Amazon.
Yes.
Or would you like the study show for the month of March?
I want the amazing things, and we'll probably have time to do study show too.
Okay, all right, we'll do the weird things you can buy. These are incredibly weird things you can buy at Amazon. And of course, this is from BuzzFeed, so you know what this is going to be like, my favorite website. The first one, and these are things you really can buy, Crazy Cat Lady action figure. Yes, it's a Crazy Cat Lady. She's standing, little action figure. She's standing there in a house coat and pajamas, has cats in all of her pockets, and about 12 additional cats that you can put around on the furniture. Now, it didn't say if the cats actually go to the bathroom on the floor. It didn't indicate that. I'm assuming they do not. I'm assuming they're house-trained cats. So you can get that for $14.19 at Amazon today.
What a
deal.
The
Crazy Cat Lady action figure. I know. That's a steal.
I got to open this link. Maybe we should post this real quick so people can follow along, because you kind of need to see pictures. Oh, my gosh. And not only is she crazy with all these cats, she's very pale and in pajama pants and a robe.
Yeah. I love the next one.
That's hilarious.
You know, you drink coffee, right? Jennifer drinks coffee. You drink coffee. Well, now you don't even have to drink coffee anymore. If you're one of those like me and takes a shower first thing when you get up in the morning, you can use the Bath Buzz caffeinated soap. That's right, because your coffee isn't enough. You can get caffeine in your soap. Do you think it soaks through the skin? Do you think that really works?
I don't know, but I shower at night, so this would be a bad option.
Bad
for me.
Idea. You'd be up all night.
Morning showerers, that would be perfect.
How about this? 1,500 live ladybugs. You can buy 1,500 live ladybugs for $8.90 on Amazon.
Wow. You skipped number three, and I've got a story about number three.
Oh, really? Okay. I thought number three was boring, but go ahead.
The Selfie Remote Shutter Release. It's this thing that you can attach to your phone and hold it out and take selfies of yourself.
Yes.
And I don't mean to stereotype or anything, but my husband flies with an Asian squadron, you know, the Singaporean squadron. And whenever there's get-togethers or anytime I'm around there, every single person in his squadron has one of these. And they're really long, and they have longer ones than this, but like you put your iPhone in it and you hold this one. It's like the length of a golf club, and they hold it out and everybody gets in the picture behind them and they snap the picture, and it takes selfies for them. It's the most amazing thing, and it's not uncommon. I mean, everybody has one. It is hilarious. And you know what? God love them. I get some good selfies, I'm
going to add to your stereotype, and because you see these a lot at Disney, because we go to Disney a lot, you see them a lot there, and the Brazilians use them too. So
really?
Yes, the Brazilians, and you're right, Asian people and Brazilians seem to be the two groups. I think, I don't know that it's caught on a lot with Americans yet, but it definitely has with those two groups. You see them walking around with their phones attached to the end of this long stick. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Nice.
How about this? Unicorns Are Jerks, a coloring book exploring the cold, hard, sparkly truth. And there are pictures on the cover of this coloring book. There are a couple of unicorns standing outside what looks like a bar smoking cigarettes. It's really funny.
And there's a sign that's right behind them that says no smoking.
Smoking.
Yeah.
Oh, and if that isn't enough to get your unicorn fix, you can buy canned unicorn meat on Amazon. That's right. You know how you buy canned meat? Well, you can get canned unicorn meat from Radiant Farms, an excellent source of sparkles, the product of Ireland. Yes. Magic in every bite, it says.
Yeah, it says magic in every bite. What do you think this is? Is it a joke? Is there really meat in it?
I think it's spam.
Oh, God. Irish spam. I think that's called haggis.
Excellent. Source of sparkles. The magic in every place. $14.95. That'd be a good prank gift, though, wouldn't it? $14.95 there. Don't get it for your child, though. They'll have nightmares. Do we want to even do number seven?
Hells yes, we do.
Okay,
this is
number
awesome.
Seven. I'm not doing number seven. You do it.
Oh, yeah. You can't, guys can't even say the word tampon. It just, it's not in your vocabulary, but these are tampon flasks. Smuggle your booze fake tampons, they're called, and you can fill them with booze. They come in wrappers. They look just like the regular tampons, but you unscrew the top and you put your booze in it, and there you go. You're, I don't know. I mean, I'm too old to want to smuggle booze anywhere, but when I was a kid, or I'm sorry, when I was in my 20s and you would go to concerts or sporting events and they don't let you have anything in there, I would have totally done this. Oh, without a doubt.
What do you think the reaction is going to be when you get out your tampon and start drinking out of it?
Just baseball game. In a glass. Don't drink it out of it in public, please.
At the baseball game. That'd be funny.
You know what? That's a great gift for me to get my brothers for Christmas. I'm going to mark that one. That's how we roll in our family.
Do you remember the Prancer-sized lady? How could we forget the Prancer-sized lady? But she, you know, she was so popular. Well, they have one for cat people, too. It's called Dancing with Cats. From the creators of the international bestseller, Why Cats Paint. So there you go. There's a crazy cat lady there dancing with cats. So she's right in there with the Prancer-sized lady. There's probably a music CD, too.
She's flipping her hair and got her arms up. She's on her tippy toes. She is excited. Have we posted this link on Facebook yet? Because if we haven't, I'm going to do it. Because, oh, my gosh, this is awesome. You have to see these.
Now, when when I was growing up, my favorite cereal was every boy's favorite cereal. Any guesses? Every boy's favorite cereal growing up.
Cookie Crisp? I don't know.
No. Lucky Charms. Oh, it's my favorite cereal growing up. And, you know, there's a way to eat Lucky Charms. You'd eat all those circly, you know, bad-tasting things out first, and then you leave all the marshmallows and eat all the marshmallows at once at the end. That's the only way you could eat Lucky Charms. It was required in my house. I grew up with four brothers, so you know you always are.
I did that too.
Well, we can eliminate the crappy cereal part that nobody likes, the little round things, because you can buy 1 pound of the cereal marshmallows that they use in the Lucky Charms from Amazon for $14.99. You pour them in your milk, and you can skip the crappy cereal part. Just get the marshmallow.
My God, that is toxic, is what that is. A whole pound of cereal marshmallows. Those things don't weigh very much. That's a lot of cereal marshmallows. That's like you would use your horse's feed bucket as a cereal bowl.
These are the crazy things you can buy at Amazon. And but wasn't the milk good, though? After you had your Lucky Charms and you saved all the marshmallows and they melted a little bit in the milk and then you drank the milk, so good.
You know what? We were not allowed to have sugary cereals in my house. I was one of those, like, nerd kids who had to eat, like, bran and crap like that. And I hope my dad's listening. And he
parents
would
be
mean.
Arrested.
I know. We weren't allowed to have anything terrible for us. Yeah, here, have another piece of shredded wheat. Oh, joy, thank you. I can't even sprinkle sugar on it, nothing.
Which is why it's all his fault you're a vegan today. It's all his
exactly.
fault.
You're exactly right.
You want to do the next one? This is right up your alley, too.
Number 10?
Yeah.
You know what? It just goes to show you, between all the cat stuff we've seen today, starting out, we had the crazy cat lady action figure. Then we had dancing with cats. And now you can buy salted pepper shakers where the salt comes out of the cat's butthole.
It's called the cat's ass salt and pepper shakers.
And the pepper comes out of a black cat and the salt comes out of a white cat with a red butthole. Ah, it's so gross. What do you get the crazy cat person who has everything? Cat
there you
ass
go.
Salt and pepper shaker stuff.
They're only $8, but have Amazon, they're cheap. And then you can also get men's hander pants. Men's hander pants. They're like tidy whities, only for your hands. And they're kind of like fingerless gloves, only they look exactly like tidy whities for your hands.
Why does one need that?
I don't know. I don't know exactly where you'd wear it. But you know what? I recommend if you're going to the baseball game and you're drinking out of the tampon, you might as well be wearing some hand to pants.
If you're drinking out of a tampon, you should totally have hand or pants.
How long before they escort you out, by the way? How long before that happens?
You wouldn't have made it in. You wouldn't make it in. Be too drunk.
I didn't know you could buy the next thing. I'd like to actually get one for your house. I've seen them at, like, you know, places where they have plants, but I've never seen where you actually buy one.
We had them growing up, and we would feed them pieces of bologna. And what we're talking about is the Venus flytraps, one of the coolest plants ever. Oh my gosh, this should totally be planted around horse stalls because it would eat your flies.
Yeah, it's true.
Why don't we do? Let's do that.
Do you think it would bite his nose off, because he would go stick his nose in one of these? Do you think it would, like, attach to him?
You know what? We used to stick our fingers in it just for fun, and it really doesn't hurt.
All right. It'd make a great viral video if he had a Venus flytrap stuck to his nose. I think that'd be great. If you need a gag gift in an emergency, there's an emergency inflatable rubber chicken you can buy for $7.80. And then the game you want to get for... I think baby Luke's going to get this for Christmas this year, number 14. I think he's going to get that for Christmas this year, really, to be honest.
Oh my gosh. Water balloon roulette. You take the gun, and there's a water balloon in it, and you put it to your head, and you pull the trigger, and either you're wet or you're not. I don't think that's going to be allowed in my household. I don't think I want to encourage roulette at all, but definitely not going to happen in my house. So, Glenn, if you send that, you will be wasting $11.75.
All right. Then I'll get him number 15, eighth. You know, I often thought about this, actually, when you're drying off after a shower. You use the same towel for your face and your butt, right? Well, they've solved that problem now with number 15, and this is these are the crazy things you can buy at Amazon. It's a face and butt towel. The top of it is white, and it says face on it. The bottom of the towel is sort of a brownish color, and it says butt. So you know which to wipe where. It's distinguished. There's a line. You never should cross the line.
I know who invented this item.
Who?
Yep. Somebody who was in Pony Club invented this, because I'm sure they still do it today. Back in the day, in your grooming kit, you had to have a separate sponge for the horse's face and the horse's butt, and they had to be labeled thus.
Really? I never would have made it in Pony Club.
Jamie, you're doing it all wrong. You need to get more sponges.
I guess so. This made me think of the episode in Friends where Joey and Chandler's like, please, stop using my soap. And he's like, why? And he's like, what's the first place you wash? And what's the last place I wash? Okay. Yeah, I'll stop using your soap.
And the bonus last one is the gift of nothing. You know how they have those blister packs you can't get off of anything you buy anymore? You have to use like a jackhammer to get your product out, and by then it's broken. Well, this is one of those blister packs, and the title says nothing. And it is a blister pack, and it wraps around nothing. There's nothing in the blister pack. So there's another Greg gag gift for $8.98 if you want to buy something.
I didn't know those were called blister packs.
Yeah, that's what they're called, blister packs. Yes, because
they're
terrible. Take them off.
I think you're right. You know, I was putting in a light bulb yesterday, and I'm like, you know, I buy a hard piece of plastic for Lucas, and it takes me 2 days to get the package open, and a light bulb is packaged in cardboard. What's wrong with this?
And the flimsiest plastic cover ever. You're right. You're right. I never thought about that. That's a good Jerry Seinfeld, by the way. All right, let's take a break. We are going to hear from our good friends at Bimedia Dewormers, all the hosts here at the Horse Radio Network used by me to debrand the dewormers. And we had Dr. David Ellefson with us last month with part one of a series we're doing on deworming, because it is getting to be that time of year. Yes, the snow will melt and you're going to have to start thinking about deworming your horses again. So this is part two in that series. We hope you enjoy it. And we're coming back with really bad ads after this. Well, Glenn here with the Horse Radio Network, and I have Dr. Ellefson with us, and he is a director of technical services with Bimedia Incorporated. And, well, so we're talking about dewormers. We did the first part last month on the shows, and I'm sure everybody heard that, and we're doing a second part. And today we're talking about product labeling and FDA approvals. So you go into the tack shop or you're online, what can you learn from the product labels of all these different dewormers out there?
Well, it's really interesting how few people actually read a label. And I guess we're all kind of guilty of that in different aspects of our life, where we don't want to read directions. We just, you know, want to use something. But what you can learn from looking at the label is what that product has been approved for and which parasites it will control. Not all the products on the market are approved for all of the essential parasites. And, you know, it's really important also to look at what weight of animal can be treated with that tube of dewormer that you're picking up. Some are 1,250 pounds, and others, like Equimax, are 1,320 pounds. So, you know, there's differences from that standpoint. And also, there's a safety profile that you're going to see. You know, is the product approved for pregnant or lactating mares? Is it approved for breeding stallions? How young can a foal be when it's started on that product? That's all going to be listed on those labels.
And I have seen people, you talk about the weight, and I have seen people with ponies just squirt the whole tube in and not, you know, and then say, I don't worry about that. Isn't it important not to give them too much, too?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Some of the products on the market do not have a very wide margin of safety. You know, in some cases, there's a narrow range between the efficacious dose and the toxic dose. So, yeah, it's very important to have an accurate weight, and it's very important to give the amount of product that's required. And it's also important not to underdose, because then you're getting into an area that we'll probably talk in the future called resistance. You're more likely to develop resistance on your farm or ranch if you're underdosing your animal.
Let's talk a little bit about that now. Talk about resistance.
Resistance is something that, you know, we've been talking about in veterinary medicine, especially on the equine side, for the last 5 to 10 years, and it's been a real concern for us with equine antiparasitical. Every time we deworm our horses, we are essentially selecting for parasites that are resistant to that particular active ingredient in that dewormer that we're using. So the more often we deworm, the greater the opportunity for resistance to develop. So we've really now taken on a targeted approach to deworming, where we're identifying horses by their ability or propensity to shed eggs. And we know there's basically three groups: low shedders, medium shedders, and high shedders. We know that 80% of the horses out there are going to be low shedders, and then that there's a 20% out there that will be those high shedders. And those are really the horses that we concentrate on. And we make sure that we have a very solid deworming program to limit the amount of eggs that they're seeding down our pastures with.
Well, how do you know if a product is working? How do I know if I'm using a wormer that it is actually working?
You know, it's another great question. You know, a lot of people just wing it. They just sort of, you know, pick a pretty box off the shelf or go with something that maybe their friends have told them about. But there really is a well-grounded scientific method that can be used that's easy to do on any farm or ranch. And what we do is, the day that we administer the dewormer, we get a fecal sample from that particular horse or group of horses, and then we check the fecal egg count for that horse. and that's going to be expressed in eggs per gram of fecal material. And that's done in a special counting chamber, and in any veterinary clinic can conduct that test. We come back 2 weeks later after the dewormer has been administered, and we get another fecal sample from those individual horses, and we do a fecal egg count test again. And we compare the two, and we want to see a reduction of at least 90%. If it's less than 90% reduction in the egg count, we know that we are starting to develop or have developed a resistance issue, and we need to switch to a different class of dewormer on our farm or ranch.
Okay, so that's how you overcome the resistance issue, is you really have to have more information to do it intelligently.
Right. You can't deworm your horses and say, well, they look pretty good.
Right.
So it must be working.
Right. Yeah, that's one area where you definitely need the testing. And we're going to talk more about fecal testing in our next session that we do here. But in the meantime, you can find out a ton more information at the website. It's Bimeda, that's B-I-M-E-D-A, equine.com, bimedaequine.com. There's all kinds of great information on there on deworming plans and fecal testing and resistance, just what we talked about. Also, the different types of parasites, and there's a question and answer section on there with Dr. Dave. So you can find out more information on the website at bimedaequine.com. Thank you, and we'll talk to you again next month.
The Equity Flex and Fork is a premium quality manure fork built in the USA to last for years. The ultra-tough, distinctive yellow basket is backed up by an unprecedented 13-month warranty against tine breakage. Patented flexible backbone lever releases stress so the tines don't snap and the dreaded tine flip will be a thing of the past. And the technology doesn't stop at the tines. The Flex and Fork also has a lightweight fiberglass handle and ergonomic grip. Available in regular and narrow tine spacing for sawdust, pellet, or rice hull bedding. You can check them out today at equitymfg.com.
Well, Jamie, it's that time of the week. See, doesn't it seem like a Friday now? We did a wacky list. We're doing really bad ads. We got everybody believing it's Friday. Let's not ruin the fantasy for them all, okay?
Okay, well, before you hit the really bad ads, I just got an email from a listener asking me for a Thor update, Thor the Mustang update.
Sure.
So, Robin, I'll just real quick, not much going on. We've had a lot of rain, but today is going to be the first day. All I've been doing really is trying to get on him and off of him and on him and off of him without him bolting in a circle and picking his back feet. So that's really all we've been really focusing on. But today is the first day where I'm going to teach a lesson of four children while sitting on him in the arena. So we'll see how that goes.
So today's a patience practice today? Yeah.
Exactly. And I'll probably mount and dismount about 20 times. My feet hurt from hitting the ground. He's so tall. That's not supposed to happen with a Mustang.
He is a tall Mustang. You don't see too many that get into the 15 and a half approaching 16 hand range.
Yeah, yeah. So not much to tell, but I'll have some drama for your mama probably this afternoon.
All right, very good.
Pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader. Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. They tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if the talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
That's right. It is a time for the EquityMFG.com. Back on EquityMFG.com. Really bad ads for today. See, I'm not even used to it. I'm still thinking. I'm not even convinced it's Friday. We are doing this today because we're going to be coming to you live from the Global Pet Expo on Friday. Dr. Wendy and I and Jennifer will be there and Dr. Kyles, and we'll be bringing all kinds of weird, fun, wacky pet products for you on Friday's show. So that's why Really Bad Ads is today. Do you want to talk about equity?
I absolutely do, and I'd like to thank our listeners who have contacted me recently wanting to know, basically, if there's any sort of promo codes or anything like that that we offer through the Horse Radio Network to get the Equity MFG forks. And not that I know of. I think pretty much you're gonna get a good deal on a fork no matter what, because it's going to last forever. You know, you might feel $50 for a Flexen fork is a lot, but my gosh, I've had mine for 3 years. 3 years, and I clean paddocks and stalls with it, and both of them. So it's totally worth the money that you spend on it. You know, you could buy a new Krabby fork every 2 months and spend $15 on it, and then do the math. How long till do you get to keep one for 3 years? You know, it never happens. So that's what I would say. And if you guys do want to find out where you can get any Flexen forks, go to equitymfg.com. I believe he has other websites too. Like, I thought that the Shaken Fork should be called the Shake Rake. And it turns out they own shakerake.com, I think. So pretty much whatever you call it, you can find out.
And that's at equitymfg.com. And Jennifer is going to tell us what our prize is today for Really Bad Ads. And, of course, everybody that submits a really bad ad during the month gets entered in the drawing. And this is everybody, not just the winners every week, but everybody. You get entered in the drawing for a Flexen fork, an equitymfg.com Flexen fork. And we do that drawing at the end of every month. We just gave one away, so we're starting a new month here this week. So, Jennifer, what is today's prize?
Shake and Rake, that is Equity. However, they use it for golf on shakeandrake.com. So don't go to that website, because then you might get a
yeah, they make them for sand traps at golf courses. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
I didn't know that. See, you learn something new every day.
We need to play the interview we heard on that other podcast, Glenn. That Adventures podcast.
I was listening to an Adventures podcast, Jamie, and it was called Cool Inventions or something. It's an actual radio show. They're on Real Radio. And I'm listening to it, and all of a sudden Joseph shows up talking about the Shake and Rake and the Shake and Fork. I'm not kidding. He was on this Inventors podcast, and this is a national show talking about how he invented it and everything. It was really cool. It was funny to hear that.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so good for him.
Sorry. The EquityMFG.com Really Bad Ads weekly prize is provided by Breton Adjust-A-Fit Saddle Covers from JF Equine. Breton Saddle Savers and Adjust-To-Fit Saddle Covers provide pillow-soft protection for your English or Western saddle. Keep your saddle looking as new, and show off your personal style, too, because they come in a whole herd of fantastic colors and patterns. You can find them online at jfequinecollection.com.
It's really cool. Oh my gosh, they have tie-dye colored ones. I love it.
Yeah,
I love the rainbow one. I love the rainbow.
Oh yeah.
They have some fun ones. And you probably have some with cats on them too, seeing it seems to be a theme today. Well, the first really bad ad is from Edna, who sent this in. And it says, broke, exclamation point, $600. Daisy the horse is broke. And so am I. Call or email asking $600 firm.
Oh, my gosh. That's hilarious. Daisy the horse is broke, and so am I.
And so am I.
Oh, my gosh. Good one. Good one. Oh, my gosh. Uta sent in the next one, and she requests that I read it in my best teenage girl voice. And you guys know when you read an ad and you're like, oh, my gosh, this was totally written by a teenager. So here we go. Oh, it even says, looking for my dream horse for free. This is Kushakton. Okay. Looking for my dream horse, and in parentheses, for free. Hi, I'm like 15 years old and I absolutely love horses, and I'm like looking for someone who has my dream horse so that I can come and ride that horse in exchange for some light work. I don't want an old one. Maybe like around 5 to 7 would be good, but it must be a gelding. Mares are just totally too temperamental, and like I don't want to spend half my time just working on getting them to behave. The ideal horse
would be like gray or black, and it should be trained so that I can work on my horsemanship skills. I don't have any tack, so like I'll need to use yours, and you'd need to have an indoor arena available because like I don't ride on trails or in a pasture. And I'm like willing to do some work and like muck a few stalls, but not too many. Okay. I get tired. I can like help with feeding, but I can't really do a lot of heavy lifting. Like I said, I'm like only 15 and I'm a girl. So maybe like one evening a week. And like, I totally cannot wait to hear from you. And I'm really, really love horses. Oh, that one's going to win something.
I love that. Oh, there's so many things here. I love that it's light work. I mean, you know, because I don't want to get a fingernail dirty. But, and you need to have an indoor because apparently we don't do outdoor anything. We're just staying inside. I'm not going outside.
Like,
it's too nasty out there.
Needs to be like 5 to 7, in between 5 and 7, so 6, and it must be gray or black. It, my dream horse that I'm going to ride for free in exchange for doing nothing.
That's right. No palominos. I don't want to do those yellow horses. I only like gray or black.
Give me a red horse.
No red horses. Oh, we all know how they are.
Temperamental mares. Jeez. That's awesome.
I doubt she received many calls. I don't think people are lining up to call. Denise sent this one in. Oh, God, Jennifer, you have to post this. Denise sent Denise sent this one in. Jennifer will post the picture because you got to see the picture with the ad. Free squirrel. I raised this little guy from a baby. I'm moving to Sierra Leone in 3 weeks and need to find a new home for Mr. Slippers. Very, very friendly fellow. And honestly, he's just a big couch potato. If you've never owned a squirrel and are apprehensive about it, then this guy is probably the one you want. It loves kids and it loves cat food, which is kind of weird for a squirrel, but whatever. And there's a
it's a possum.
There's a picture of them holding a possum, which are the ugliest creatures in the world, upside down with his mouth open and his teeth out. I mean, it's just looking vicious and ugly. Oh, there are.
Free squirrel.
Free squirrel.
Here's
friendly
kitty,
with
kitty,
kids.
Kitty. Oh, my God. That's awesome.
Jennifer's going to post it. You have to see the picture with the ad. Post the whole thing, Jennifer.
Oh, God. These are good. Shelly sent this one in. She's like stuffy. I'm laughing so hard. One horse for sale, $550. Oh, Lord. No punctuation. Here we go. No capitalization, no punctuation. Here we go. Black horse is 16 one half hands high with white spot on his face. I haven't ridden, but I bought from someone who did. Previous owner said he's broken, but I don't think that he is. He moves around fine. And I don't think he has any medical issues, but you need to have a vet check him. You can trade if you have stuff. I will take baby goats or pigs, recliners, wood, flat screens, skeet guns, and stuff like that. Call Gus.
Gus doesn't want to ride no damn horse. He wants a recliner.
Trades horses for recliners, plural, by the way. He doesn't want one recliner. He wants more than one.
Well, the wife needs one.
Guys, I could trade you a squirrel.
A beautiful, friendly squirrel for you.
Or I know a girl that is looking for a black horse to come and ride, and she'll ride it at your house. God, they're all tying together.
Perfect. They're perfect. You're right.
Yeah. Black horse. It's a gelding. He didn't say anything else. He didn't even say what kind it is or what sex it is. Nothing. One horse for sale.
No. Nope. But if you got some pigs, he'll trade you. Sharon sent the following one in. Free horse. Oh, here we go. There's another one. 17-year-old Palomino paint mare. Has never been broke for saddle. Never loaded in a trailer either. Registered with papers. Just come and take her away.
Get her off my property.
You can walk her home because she ain't getting in the trailer.
I feel so sorry for horses that are old like that and have no training. Education for horses makes them have better lives. Oh, God.
Yeah.
This poor horse.
That one's
sorry.
Doomed, unfortunately.
I'm getting in a tangent. Here we
you
go.
Know what?
Misty, she can't even
give this to the girl. It's 17 and a mare and it's Palomino. Three strikes. We can't even give it to that other girl.
You know what, though? That girl probably hasn't had any phone calls and at this point will take anything. So yeah. It might actually work. Horse gelding for sale. Horse gelding for sale. Misty sent in this one. Thank you, Misty. Handsome is just turning 10 years old, and he's 16.1 hands, and he's 100% sound. ... Handsome has been sitting for a little while. ... He was another family member's horse. ... Handsome used to be a racehorse before my family member got him, and when I ended up with him. ... He currently needs his feet done, either barefoot or reshoed. ... He goes English or Western, but has been sitting the last 8 months. Before that, 2 years he sat. ... He is a good broke horse.
Doesn't that mean he's been sitting for 3 years? Isn't that what that really means?
If I was to do the math, Glenn, yes, that's almost 3 years. Listen. I gained 4 pounds, only 4 pounds, but then I gained 12 pounds.
12 pounds. Doesn't sound as bad that way. It really doesn't.
Exactly. It's actually pretty cool. He's been very desensitized while he's been here for guns, fireworks, motorcycles, ATVs, ... The only bad thing I can say is he does not like to be watched when he eats. ... Yeah, he really likes to eat in peace. ... Did that first sentence lead you to believe that these people are incredibly huge rednecks?
Yes, it did. Yes.
While he's been here, we've been shooting guns and fireworks and motorcycles and running ATVs all around. I should have been doing this in a southern accent the whole time. I didn't know. he's not a mean horse, even though sometimes he acts like he's a mean horse, but he's not all it's show, and it's part of his knucklehead personality. He's a knucklehead with loads of personality. A good home is a must, but no serious offer is refused. Wait a second. What if a bad home makes a serious offer? Then
he's out of here.
Knucklehead. He's out of here.
I love this. He's not a mean horse, though sometimes he acts like a mean horse. Well, he is. He's faking it. Just a show.
Oh my gosh. These are so funny.
You know those bite marks that you need the stitches for? That's just a show. He's faking it. He's not really
a crazy knucklehead. He's just a real knucklehead. He just loves you with his teeth. That's all. Now he's affectionate.
Misty, that was a really good one. I don't know where you found that, but that was great. Sienna sent the following one in, and this is our trailer. Oh, we had one of these before, and we got all kinds of emails about it. Sienna sent this one in. It's our trailer of the week. It's an inline two-horse trailer for $450. It needs tires and lights. The first one that with $450 takes it does sell with no title. So you have a no-title trailer that needs tires and lights. And probably doesn't look like it has much of a floor. So, and it's sitting in the snow. You have to get it out of there, too. And I don't even see the hitch. Where's the hitch? Is there one?
I don't. There is, but it's, like, fallen down apart from the trailer.
Oh.
So.
And it's an inline. Now, for people who don't know what this is, remember we had one of these years ago, and we didn't know what the hell it was. And we got all kinds of comments about how well they handle. You remember that?
Well, there's there's four tires. There's tires in the front and in the back, and it looks like a little buggy you're pulling or something, and it is a tube. There is no way in hell I would have a horse that would get in this thing, especially get in first. It is a tube where you put the horse in the front one, and then you close the door, and then you put the horse right behind it. Yeah, that's never going to happen.
Come on, Thor. It acts like a hay wagon. You know how your hay wagon have the tires? Can you imagine backing this up? I do so well backing the hay wagons up that I can imagine that I'd do well backing this up. It probably does haul really well, but don't ever back up. You just don't want to be in that situation. It's not going to be good. And Jennifer will post that picture, too.
I've got a comment, though, here, Glenn.
Yes?
You've done this. You know you have. Driving down, particularly Route 30, which is an interstate in Pennsylvania, but you frequently see farm machinery on it illegally. You've seen those hay wagons going down the interstate at 45 miles an hour, weaving entirely across all four lanes.
That is
true. I cannot imagine these things haul well. No, I'm not buying it. I'm just not.
I'm with you, Jen. I'm with you. That looks like a death trap to me. That looks terrible. I wouldn't do that. Anyway, thanks, Deanna. You're exactly right, Jen. They just bounce everywhere. Okay, this is in Alabama. Andrea sent the next one in. Anyone in need of a farrier for $25? God. And this is in Salem, Alabama. Hey, y'all. I trim horses' feet, so if anyone needs their horse feet done, I'm one. Oh, wait. This has no punctuation either. Het, everyone. Excuse me. Het, y'all. I trim horses' feet, so if anyone needs their horse feet done, I'm the one. My prices are 14 hands and taller, $25. Anything under 14 hands is $20, and if I have to do any training on the back feet, there's going to be a $10 training fee. So call me or text. Thank you.
Hey, you need to call this guy. You need this guy for Thor. He doesn't do his back feet. This guy will train him for $10. That's a deal.
Man. You know what? My farrier's going to quit anyway when she sees these dinner plate rock solid feet on this horse, so I might need a new farrier. I should take this number down.
That's a great one. Abby sent the following one in. Some new names today, too. Thank you very much. Abby sent the following one in. Farm closed lots to sale in Oakland. Yep, farm closed lots to sale. We closed our farm, and we have many items to sell. Please do not text my phone. It is not able to handle text. And please no email. I can be reached by phone only. Beautiful horses. A giraffe, D-R-A-P-H. A giraffe crosses Morgan. A giraffe crosses Morgan / Clydesdale around 15.7 hands.
Woo!
It's very smart. 3.5 years old. All of the giraffe crosses match. Because if you're putting the hitch together, that'd be important. Load with ease. Halter broke. No bad habits. Never have been abused. Experienced riders only to break out. That's right. Experienced riders only to break out.
I would like to point out, too, I know you can't read it because it's too weird, but experience, like, all these words are spelled wrong.
Spelled wrong.
So everybody knows how hard. Yeah, Glenn is working.
Tennessee Walkers, oh, he has more. Not just the draft Morgan Clydesdale crosses that are 15.7 hands and very smart. He has Tennessee Walkers, 3 mares and 1 gelding, experienced riders only. You're going to see a trend with all of his horses. 2 ponies, very sweet, needs to broke around 12 hands. He also has Fjords for sale. He spelled that right, ironically enough. He spelled Fjords right.
That's the one word he spelled right.
Fjords for sale with papers, 1 gelding, 2 mares. Guess what? They need work. So we basically have a very lot of horses, and none of them are broke, and they all need a lot of work. But you can get them cheap today only.
So I guess you can only call. It's funny. Don't text my phone. My phone can't handle text, and no emails. So don't email me. This is a farmer, is what it sounds like, who is way over his head.
He hasn't done much with those horses. They've been out there with the cows, and that's it. And finally decided that he can't do anything with the horses because none of them are broke, so we're going to sell them. For the best price I can get.
Oh, this next one is fantastic. Oh, you guys just hit a home run this time. Heather sent this one in. Good horse for sale, $400 in Kalispell. That's in Montana, I think. So every one of these is on a different line. So it's just short sentences, and they hit enter, and then a short sentence, and they hit enter. Good horse for sale, $400. Good roping horse. Good with cows and geese. Good health for the past month. Good for the shoer.
So apparently before that, he was lame as could be.
Yeah. Good for the shoer. Good in the trailer. Good sound. Good-ish on the trail. Good for me. Good for my kids. Bad for my husband. Contact only if you're a lady.
Didn't see that coming.
Apparently this one has problems with men.
I like the good-ish on the trail. That reminds me of the DJ I used to work with. He would say that he would be, he's like, I'm Jew-ish. Like, I'm kind of Jewish. I'm Jew-ish. I'm good-ish on the trail. That's awesome.
All right, last one for today. Boy, we had some good ones, too. Chelsea sent this one in. A chicken, C-H-I-C-K-I-N, and that's how it's spelled throughout the whole thing. Chicken for sale, S-I-I-L. Chicken for sale, $20 in Bishopville. Chicken for sale, he's white with some specks of brown and black. I thought I could be a chicken parent, but no. He likes snacks, bananas, and lettuce, but nothing else really. Not the hand feeder either, I found out the hard way. Not a quiet chicken, kind of annoying. A real nice chicken and pretty colored. Asking $200, but I'll take 10. I just want him to go. I just want him to go. Is there a chicken that doesn't bite? Is there really a chicken that won't peck your hand if you try and feed it? Do you have any nice chickens?
I do have nice chickens because there's kids, I bring these baby chickens home, these kids just maul them till they're like submit, you know, and they pick them up every week. So they do make nice chickens. But I wanted to point out the fact that anytime in this where she said it, and she said it several times, the word butt is spelled B-U-T-T. Like,
yes.
Like the word butt. That was pretty funny.
Do chickens eat bananas? Do chickens eat bananas and lettuce?
No, that's terrible. They don't eat lettuce either. I throw lettuce and spinach out there when it goes bad. They won't touch it. So I don't think this is a chicken. I think it's like that squirrel.
It's like the squirrel.
The squirrel.
Like the squirrel.
I loved what Robin said about the squirrel, quote unquote. She said, I don't know what Wendy has, but her squirrels don't look anything like this.
Pretty similar, really.
Who are we going to give it to today? We had the squirrel that's really a really ugly possum. We had Uta, who sent in the looking for a dream horse. We had the very funny Misty one, which was handsome. This is so tough today.
Shelly was funny with her black horse that they haven't ridden, but somebody else did. That was a good one. Misty's was funny. I'm like, gosh, all of them are so funny today. I almost feel like we need to just put all the names in a hat, Glenn. I can't pick a winner. They're too good.
All right, Jennifer picked for us. She says Misty. She really liked the one with the fireworks, the redneck one. So I think we'll go with that. We'll go with that. That was very funny. You did a great job reading that one. So.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. These were great, you guys. I feel like now I need to go back to bed.
Oh, thank you to Equity also for sponsoring this segment every week. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Gerald. You guys have a great day. Hope we made you laugh a few times this week.
Happy Friday!